May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 196. O Lord, how vile am I, unholy and unclean. How can I dare to venture nigh with such a load of sin? Hymn 196.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God is from the Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 6. The Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which seeth in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May he bless to us the reading of his word and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, once more we come before thee. Lord, thou hast brought us again to thy sanctuary, Lord, that we might be in the Spirit and influenced by the Spirit. We come to worship, and may our worship be real. Lord, if it's real, it is spiritual. If it's spiritual, it is from thee. Lord, we pray for the eyes of faith to be opened, that we might behold Jesus, Lord, and worship this night under the Holy Spirit's divine teaching. But we do thank thee too for the mercy, Lord, of the mediator, that provision which thou hast given thy children. Lord, we sing sometimes for all that come to God by him. Salvation he obtains, points to their names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands. Lord, we would be mindful too of the mercy of his name. Lord, this is the name the Father loves, that to hear his people plead, his children plead, and all such pleading he approves and blesses them indeed. Dear Lord Jesus, come and abide with us. Thou didst, Lord, when here on earth, have a company of sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, may we hold communion with Jesus Christ. And Lord, how we need that spirit of truth and righteousness. Lord, shut out the buyers and sellers. Remove far from us the influence of the flesh. And Lord, may we be taken up with Jesus Christ this night. But we would be mindful, Lord, of what we've sung and what has been sung, Lord, has illustrated a wonderful work of grace, because it is that revealing of these needs Lord, wonderful mercy, it isn't comfortable to be a sinner in thine eyes. And Lord, it's not comfortable sometimes in our own eyes. But it's a mercy to be a revealed sinner, and a mercy to be a seeking sinner. Sinners there are throughout this land and world, but Lord, so few there are that are seeking. Lord, and we thank thee that what a sinner seeks, Lord, is what he's instructed to seek for, and that is mercy. Lord, we thank thee for the Holy Spirit's work that gives the sinner a need of mercy, awakens him to his need, Lord, gives him a desire after mercy, makes the Lord Jesus Christ precious. Lord, precious in the want of him. Lord, that desire goes up from the heart of needy souls, that Jesus may be revealed to them as the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, thou wilt not leave thy work unfinished. Lord, the work of thy Spirit is to convince of sin and to lead to Jesus' blood. Lord, in his blood there is mercy. Through his blood there is forgiveness. Through his blood is access. Oh Lord, what a mercy that a sinner can find access to Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, to God the Father. Lord, what a blessed work it is. And what we do desire, Lord, in this place, that there may be that evidence of that work, Lord, in many a soul. Hidden, Lord, it may be for the moment, but realized, Lord, by that revelation of thy Spirit. Lord, thy servant, the apostle, had his condition revealed to him. Lord, what was he in his eyes? Wretched, a wretched man I am. Oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But Lord, that is how he learned the mercy of no condemnation. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Let there be, Lord, some dear souls here that mourn because of their sin, groan and sigh, come into chapel. Lord, they've come to chapel to hear the gospel. Lord, if this is the blessing that they seek for, let that precious gospel of Jesus Christ be found in their soul. And Lord, comfort seeking souls with revelations of Jesus. Nothing, Lord, else will do them good. Their place in the house of God, Lord, will not do them good. It's not place, Lord, it's grace that is vital. And there is but one thing needful. Lord, may they know some communion from thyself to them in this condition and in this state. Lord, there was one whose case is mentioned in this in the gospel. Lord, it was brought to Jesus. And we read, Lord, the outcome was very precious to her. Neither do I condemn thee. Lord, that's a wonder of grace, that is. A wonder of mercy from the heart of Christ to a poor sinner. Neither do I condemn thee. And Lord, if there is no condemnation, it is because their sins are indeed suffered for in their place. But he bore in his own body that sin which distresses them now. Show them, Lord, what it means to have a Saviour who is a substitute, who has suffered for them that they shall not suffer, endured the wrath of God so that they shall not endure the wrath of God. Lord, that has tasted death for them and have risen from the dead for them and has promised to see them again and has promised too that they shall live because he lives. Lord, wonderful mercy to have a desire for Jesus Christ. It may be, Lord, that's all that some people can speak about, a desire for Jesus. Lord, they would not be able to say much more, but Lord, that's sufficient, a desire for Jesus Christ. That's, Lord, what the publican had when he prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we pray that we may know his blessing as well as his exercise. Lord, the work thou dost begin then, Lord, thou wilt continue. So remember, Lord, those who are sinners in this place, those that are sinners in their own eyes. Lord, those that are wretched and undone in their own feelings. Lord, those that come to seek a portion for their soul. Lord, that would come if they were honest, and they must be honest. Lord, would echo the words of one who said, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Lord, hear prayer for this sanctuary. Thou hast maintained it, and we believe thou wilt maintain it. Lord, there is a people here that have testified of the grace of God. We believe there's a people here that will testify of the grace of God. So bring thy children to the light, Lord. Bring them to the knowledge of their interest in Christ Jesus. Lord, perhaps the word might be, Lord, found in them. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Nothing but love have I received. Lord, strengthen the church. We humbly pray thee with those that will testify of their interest and love to Christ and of Christ's love to them. Hear our prayer and, Lord, bless the ministry in this place. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant them an under-shepherd. Lord, one that's formed in their heart in desire. One whose heart they are found to be in. And so, Lord, bring them together. And in this place may there be that sweet testimony of this mercy. Lord, the promises I will give pastors after mine own heart. We pray, Lord, that in this place there may be that one desire. And Lord, amongst many one desires, that thou wilt grant them one that shall go in and out amongst them and feed them, Lord, because one cares for them. Because, Lord, they are in his heart to pray for, to live with and to die with. Lord, bless this. Blessing to them we earnestly ask. Hear us too for any that are not here. For Lord, thou knowest why. Take care of them, Lord, and bring them again. Lord, we pray for all that are here, young people, and those, Lord, that are parents, and those, Lord, that seek, Lord, to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that hold office, grant them grace, Lord. Oh, it is grace that's needed. Not to elevate them, Lord, but to humble them. And so we pray, Lord, that thou would in this place grant signs following the ministry of the gospel, and Lord, as thy servants come and deliver thy word, Lord, we pray that it may abide like seed, that it may be sown in weakness, raised in power. Lord, we've seen, Lord, much of the harvest gathered in nature. Thou hast remembered the promise, fulfilled it, Lord, a covenant promise, that, Lord, in this place and in Zion, the Church of Christ, may there be an ingathering of another harvest of poor souls, dear souls, quickened souls, souls that are blessed with grace. May there be another harvest, a spiritual harvest. May the witness of it be in this place. Lord, do grant a reviving in real things, Lord, in our own souls. Help us to walk, Lord, because thine eye is upon us. Help us to walk under the eyes of God. Walk in fear and trembling, but walk according to the pathway appointed. We seek, Lord, those that are in tribulation, in affliction's path. Lord, thy healing hand and restoring mercy. We seek also, Lord, that submission to the will of God be granted. We do believe, Lord, and we hope we can honestly say this before thee, the way of blessing is the way of submission. Lord, grant to thy dear people submission to the will of God. Lord, hear our prayer too, and Lord, send forth thy spirit in the churches. Lord, we do pray, Lord, for a pouring out in these days, these latter days. Lord, these final days, Lord, of the gospel time, the pouring out of thy spirit. Lord, hear us too as we remember all thy servants, Lord, whom thou hast sent, young as well as old. Lord, may they be given grace to spend and be spent in the service of the gospel. Hear us, Lord, especially for those who are in affliction. Dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt send forth others. And when it pleases thee, Lord, to afflict thy servant, may it be for the servants, may it be for the furtherance of the gospel. And that it may prove to be, Lord, for the benefit of their hearers. Lord, we don't pray for affliction, we don't seek tribulation. But Lord, we pray that when it comes, and it shall, Lord, that the clouds may be balanced. Lord, may we in our petitions now, Lord, not forget that thou rulest on no uncertain throne. Lord, we look around and see much evil, and much of it is inside as well. But thou dost still rule, Lord. Thou art in control. We would not forget it. But Lord, lay our burdens and cases before thee. We live in evil times, Lord, and they will not get better. We live in an evil nation, Lord, and we have evil rulers. But preserve and keep to us our liberties and our freedoms. Lord, hear our prayer then for each here. Lord, this night, oh, open their ears to hear the word. Open their hearts to receive it, Lord. We pray that we may be of one mind and of one heart this night in the things of God. Lord, we need divine help, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, as we look at our prayers, they need pardoning. Lord, we've asked them, presented them in the name of Jesus. May there be answers of peace. Lord, and especially too, Lord, where we fail to ask. Lord, it is only thou who knows the hearts of each one. that thou dost know those who, Lord, have secret burdens and cares unknown to us. Lord, thou knowest, so we commend all to thee, and where we have failed to ask, Lord, make up in giving. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 671. How shall I come to thee, O God, who holy art, and cannot evil see but with a loathing heart? I am defiled throughout by sin, and by my very birth unclean. Hymn 671.
Thank you.
completely dependent upon the help of God. I desire your attention to the reading, chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, and verse 33. The Gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I first started looking at this word, I began to think of these blessed characters who would be known by God as seekers. What a blessed, gracious condition to be a seeker. And then it came to my thoughts, who are these, who was to receive, who received this three chapters which are called the Sermon on the Mount? Who was he speaking to? I'm sure, of course, that he was speaking, his disciples come unto him, we read, and he opened his mouth and taught them. But he taught them what? That there is a people whom God calls blessed. That's who it's written to. Whom God calls blessed. And you only have to read between chapter 5, between verse 3 and verse 11, who these blessed people are. It's three chapters then that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he was in that mount. Then I felt that we must look at it a bit closer, because before we begin to look at the verse, and you will trace at your leisure, I hope, not now, how many times in this chapter you read of the Father, your Father, thy Father. And I believe I'm right in saying three times your Heavenly Father. Which somewhat confirmed to me who these seekers were. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, his ministry was blessed to sinners. And it would seem to be the vilest of sinners too. And I thought, this may be just my view of things, but when you write a letter to somebody, you put their name on the top, and at the end you sign it with your name. So these three chapters, especially in this book, are addressed to those who are whom Jesus Christ called blessed. Now, it is such a character to whom this 33rd verse is addressed to then. Such that are blessed. If the word of God tells you and me in this word about seekers, there's no such thing as a seeker unless he has spiritual life. And there's no such thing as a seeker unless he has those desires for spiritual blessings. The desire, as you may read at your leisure in our own chapter we read, there was two characters there, weren't there? There were hypocrites and heathens and others. Well, dear friends, if you are by the grace of God a seeker. And a seeker is a person who has that desire or exercise for something that he hasn't got. And so he will seek for it. There's obviously a natural illustration of it in many ways. But we must keep to the word of God. Now it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. When the Lord begins by his grace to instruct his people, he always brings them to seek for something in a singular, personal and important way. I hope you will receive what I'm just going to say. It took me back many, many years saying that. And I do remember once it came to my mind like this, you know. In the 27th Psalm, there's a word that says, one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and so on. And I felt that was one of the early evidences of God's mercy to my soul. It's not a multitude of this and a multitude of that. It's not studying the word of God for theology's sake. But it brings a sinner to that vital thing. Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needful. One thing. Doesn't matter where you stand today, tonight in God's house. You may be a member of this church. You may hold office in this church. Doesn't matter who you are or where you are in the house of God. But it comes down to this one thing. And that's what's essential. There's a lot of people in religion are full of this and full of that. I know a man who I understand is a pastor, not in this denomination, I would add. And he used to attend Zohar sometimes, especially on a Wednesday night. And he used to get into conversation. And he would say, well, I'm certainly one that has great concern with the authorized version rather than any all other standards of the scriptures. And he was a very able man in conversation in religious things. But what I used to notice is not what he said, but what he didn't say. And that conversation was nothing was ever mentioned about sin. Nothing was ever mentioned about, in a saving way or a personal way, of Jesus Christ and him crucified. I do hope I can say this before God, in all honesty, that when the Lord begins to teach, he'll teach you to seek for that what is first. What is necessary? Somebody once said to me, when they came before the church and was received and was baptized, nobody ever asked them whether they read the articles. No, there's nothing wrong with the articles, don't get me wrong. But you see, what was the one thing needful? What was not written in a book, but what was written on their heart? And if by the grace and mercy of God, he taught them sin and blessed them with salvation, that was the essential work of the Spirit, and that was the truth. What these articles meant to them was indeed, of course, important, but it wasn't the one thing that was needful. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And dear friends, if you labour under a sense of the instruction and teaching of the Holy Spirit, he will bring you to seek for that which is for your soul's profit and good. Let me ask a question. When you come to God's house to listen to the gospel, is that what motivates you? Is that what brings you to your seat in the house of God, that gives you ears to hear, and I hope gives you hearts to understand? It is this seeking first. And what is meant by seeking first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this is another clear evidence that the living soul will be a seeker. As we commented in this sixth chapter, there are hypocrites described and there's heathens described, as well as believers. If you are and I are a seeker, it's because we have the grace of God in our soul. It may be, and I trust it is, within the walls of this house, those who are seekers and not yet finders. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ came to me then, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And I believe in that word, and I believe in the promises of that word. But I do know this, that it is only by the grace of God that you'll ever become a seeker. Things of time occupy the minds of those who have nothing more concerned with but the things of time. The hymn says somewhere, doesn't it? I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Now, what is it therefore that the believer in Jesus Christ, or the seeker after Jesus Christ, I try not to get too far, and if I do, forgive me if I go by you. But what is it that those who seek first, what is it that is first to them? There's examples everywhere. You can look at Luke and you can find the man who came to the temple to pray, who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the first thing he wanted. Mercy. But you know, dear friends, may I say this? If this is, I hope you will receive it. If you're a seeker, God has had mercy. You'd not be a seeker otherwise. If you're a seeker, it's because God has put in your heart a desire for things which are of the kingdom of God. We quoted, I think, in prayer of the words of the Moabitess damsel Ruth, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. You see, that was the desire, that was the one thing which united them together. Natural love, well, it was in both daughters-in-law. But spiritual love was only in one of them. And the desire in Ruth was not in her sister-in-law. She went back to her sister, to her parents and her gods. Ruth was brought under grace to leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. But what you and I seek for will denote and prove the work of grace. It is something that you long for, desire after. You have some intimation I was going to say that there is such blessings for sinners. That what you have sung is very evident by it. But this is where the blessing of the Holy Spirit is. You know, Jesus Christ said in John 14, he shall teach you all things. But he'll teach you to seek for those things which are in Christ and are from Christ. If your exercise or desire will be for mercy, it will be that he will reveal the person of Christ to you. If you find that under condemnation, the just and holy law which God gave to Moses, if that holy and just law condemns you, and you find that there is a desire for mercy or forgiveness or pardon, you'll seek for it. It will be more important to you than any blessing under the sun. Any blessing under the sun. Because it will reveal the blessings that you seek for, which is in your soul, which comes in exercise out of your heart, and is the constant object of your pleadings, which is in your prayers day or night, that there is to be revealed to you. And first of all, it is a mercy to have it, to want it, to seek after it, but the answer to the seeking spirit is a revelation and an understanding and a believing in and a trusting in the source of where these mercies come from, even in a precious Jesus. You've only got to go through the Gospels and note who they were that were found seeking after these mercies for themselves. Sinners they were. I looked at that word today, I found it, and I read it again. The Pharisees said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But they were the only ones who were seeking after Christ, because he is Christ, and because by Christ and through Christ they shall know their interest in salvation and a place in eternal glory. Oh yes, they were black sinners. They were vile sinners. And one of them was described by a Pharisee is that she is a sinner. It was as almost as though it didn't qualify her. But you see, when you read the word this in the Apostle's letter to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, dear friends, the Church of Christ is made up of sinners saved by grace. That they fell when Adam fell. Their first parents brought sin into the world and death by sin. And every son and daughter of Adam is therefore a sinner. That's in their birth, and that's in their practice. But if, as God has a people whom he has eternally saved, they shall know by divine teaching what it is to be solemnly lost. There's a wonderful word in John 6, isn't there, which describes the people of God. In John 6, verse 37, it says there, concerning the children of God, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now that is written for sinners, but they are sinners because they are chosen of God, and they are precious in the eyes of God, and he'll bring them one by one to the feet of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And I thought, how can one explain what the kingdom of God is? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What it means in so many ways in the scriptures, what does it mean to you or me? What does the kingdom of God mean? It meant everything to Ruth, the Moabitess. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. And that's the kingdom of God. The people of God is the kingdom of God. Sinners called by grace and are living witnesses to their own sinful state and condition, and the mercy that is found in Christ Jesus belong to this kingdom. There's another thing about this kingdom, you know, which people often perhaps overlook. If we're born in this kingdom, in the kingdom I'm talking about, the United Kingdom, we are born with an English language. Dear friends, if you are born again Christians, if you're born again Christians, you know the language of this kingdom. It's called in the prophecies as a pure language, and it is a pure language. And you only learn it, it's only taught you by the grace and mercy of God. You can tell if you're a follower or a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a poor, needy soul, and you come into contact and conversation with such a person who knows the language of Zion, you can tell, because he speaks like you do and you speak like he does. But what's the centre of this conversation, this spiritual conversation? Surely it is the person of Jesus Christ, and it's the work of the Spirit. When you last heard a testimony in this church, in this cause of truth, and were brought into the Church of Christ, you listened to, if I might put it like this, you listened to a language which wasn't natural, which wasn't the common language of man. It was a testimony which the Lord put there. And the testimony was what the Lord had done for their souls. Now that's the evidence of the kingdom of God. What he has done, not what they have done for God, but what God has done for them. That's the evidence of the testimony. And that's the word of God, or that's the word from God, or the instruction from God in their souls, so that they could in due course, moved by the love to Christ, speak of him as their saviour and their friend. The kingdom of God has a language which is spiritual and which is humble. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm sure there is many testimonies today which, real as they will be, if they are of God, they're often looked at to be insufficient. They're often looked at as though, well, they'll expect more from me from this, on this occasion. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Few or many be the words. Do you know, it isn't just the conversation, it's the walk and pathway which testifies of the grace of God. Those who have the grace of God have a in their walk and pathway have a testimony in itself. But you see, there's another thing too, that a believer in Jesus Christ, a follower, or those who have the desire for the truth that it is in Jesus, they'll never be satisfied. You know, we're not only taught that we're poor, And we feel it because sinners are not rich sinners in as much as that they got something to boast about. They've nothing to boast about. But they often feel poor in their own eyes. They don't seem to possess things. And you'll find this often in conversation. You'll often hear real believers in Jesus Christ testify of their spiritual poverty. Well, who made them hungry? Who gave them a desire for the things of God? What does it say in this Beatitudes? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, I'm sure that these zealous religious people are appointed to places because of their knowledge. Because they were students in theology, for instance. Because they are able to communicate in religious terms. One thing have I desired of the Lord. You know, it's not accumulation of this or something else. It's these first things which are first. The language of Zion, which comes from the heart. You that have knowledge of what I suppose they call today higher education would be able to converse with such which have like education, and they would be of one mind and of one ability. But these that are the children of God, or are seeking the kingdom of God, they're all known for their poverty. Poverty of spiritual attainments, poverty of a knowledge of mercy in themselves. They're violent poor in their own eyes. But Christ is precious in their eyes too. This one thing, this seeking first then, illustrates poverty of possessions. They wouldn't be a seeker if they were not in poverty in possessions. They wouldn't be a seeker. If it was possible to attain all that you need to know, well, you know, you've only got to go and read what it says about the Laodicean church. They were rich and in need of nothing. Now, how many here are described as that? Rich and in need of nothing. Now, let your own conscience answer that. Those that seek first the kingdom of God are not rich and in need of nothing. And I do believe, sadly and solemnly, that the Laodicean church is an illustration of religion in this day and age. Not entirely, because you'll still find those, blessed be God, who are taught of the Spirit, who are low in their own eyes because of what they feel that they do not possess. But the life of God being what it is, as it comes from God, it puts within them this desire for those things of the kingdom of God. I suppose it might be said, and it has said, I've had it said to me, respecting that blessing of forgiveness. Blessing of forgiveness. Have you the testimony of forgiveness? Could you humbly before God say, well, on such a time and in such a place and in such a condition, I felt the Lord's pardoning love and forgiving mercy. So you don't pray for forgiveness anymore? I think not. If you were blessed, and all the children of God are blessed and will be blessed, with their sins put away, and the knowledge of it, and the mercy of it. You know, you've only got to read the testimony of those who are pardoned. And thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. And in the case of Hezekiah, thou hast put all my sins behind thy back, out of sight. But I'm sure of this, that if you were blessed tonight with the knowledge of forgiveness of sins, and I say this not to distress you or to disturb you, but I'm sure of this, that whilst you're in the flesh, you'll be seeking it again and again, all the knowledge of this mercy. See, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those who are in this kingdom of God are those whose sins are all put away. The Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And blessed are those people whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. But I'm sure of this, if you've been blessed with it, you will need that blessing again. Don't let Satan disturb you, distress you, by saying, well, you thought it was forgiveness, but you're still a black sinner. One thing that the grace of God does not do, and that's improve on your nature. But it will teach you, or bring you to seek for that nature to be subdued. And dear friends, whilst you live in the body, you'll always be troubled with that old nature, that old man of sin. He'll always try to distress or cast you down and seek to disturb your hope or your comfort. But those who are seekers seek for those things which the kingdom of God possess. And they seize it from the source where the kingdom of God obtain it. You might wonder sometimes, because this is a part of the way in which divine teaching is proved, you might wonder about life itself. I mean, spiritual life. Am I quickened by his Spirit, live a life of faith and prayer, trusting wholly in his merits, casting on him all my care? Is your spiritual life, you would say, does it demonstrate the life of God? Or is this just religious emotion? Well, dear friends, your exercise desire will prove the life of God. Will prove the life of God. If you, I don't know which way you can say this word, to those who have the life of God, they will desire the things of God. And nothing less will do. There's another thing which is the evidence of the kingdom of God, and you'll seek to know you possess it. And you may say, well, that should have been said earlier. Well, it may have been, should have been said earlier. But you should have a new nature. A new nature, which is what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, being born from above. That new nature of grace, that life of God. What a change that makes. And you know, dear friends, nothing but grace will bring that about. And those who are the subjects of it, in other words, they possess the grace and mercy of God by gift and by choice and by love, not their choice, not their gift, and certainly by the mercy of God in love to their souls. They are brought into this secret place of desire. You know, sometimes you will find, am I made, well, you know, the poet said, didn't he, am I made a real Christian, washed in Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? But the desires of the children of God emanate from the life of God in the soul, not from the natural desire or mind. Why I said that was because my mind had gone then to that man in the 8th chapter of the Acts, Simon the sorcerer. He himself, we read, believed and was baptized. But you see, the motive wasn't right. The motive wasn't right. If you and I are blessed with grace, it should reveal a love to Christ Jesus and a love from Christ Jesus. But there was something wrong in his walk and pathway. The Apostle Philip hadn't discerned it. Well, no man could look into a man's heart. But you see, subsequent workings of that natural heart came to the top. So much so that he thought that he could possess the gift and influence of the Holy Spirit by purchasing it. Now the answer to him was, and it was a very sad answer, we might have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, as all baptisms, gospel baptisms are. But you see, what was wrong? But it started wrong, didn't it? And if it starts wrong, it carries on being wrong. The apostles said of him, "Thy heart isn't right. Thy heart isn't right." And dear friends, your old heart or my old heart will never be right. But he only had one nature. If you read in one of the prophecies, either Jeremiah or Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel, it speaks of the Lord giving another heart, taking away a heart of stone and giving a heart of flesh. Not a fleshly heart, of course, but one that is sensitive to grace and made a seeking soul by grace. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And also that the kingdom of God possesses something that those of the world, those that are mere professors of religion, do not possess. And that is an interest, not only interest in Jesus Christ, but an interest in the promises of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is the church of Christ on earth. But you see, there come a time when he shall take his people home to glory. And this is the kingdom of God's blessing. We read, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, you'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's the promise of heaven. And that's the blessing, dear friends, that the kingdom of God possess. A place in eternal glory. Seek for it. Seek for it. When he prayed his intercessory prayer, he prayed that the Lord wouldn't take them out of the world, but that they should be kept from the world. But you see, they've got an eternal home prepared for them. And the Lord will bring them there safely, and nothing should any more disturb or distress. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The blessing, you know, one of the, I was going to say, blessings which may seem to be overlooked is to be known by the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ is with his people. I thought then of the 107th Psalm. "He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Now that's eternal glory, as we said. But one thing that the people of God, the kingdom of God, do desire and know and long for is much of his presence. When you come to the throne of grace, whether it's in his house or in your own house, do you not seek that you might know his presence more, feel his presence with you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he's with his people, he surrounds his people, he upholds them, supports them, provides for them, maintains them in life, maintains them in spiritual life. This is a faithful saying, a worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's not going to lose them. He'll take care of them, he'll spare them, and he'll bring them honourably through, but he'll be with them in life's journey. The hymn in our book, 812, says, "The way I walk cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added." And it would be foolish to say that the things which are added, we read of all this mercies and blessings which come by a God of providence. But it doesn't say anywhere in this chapter about carelessness or indifference, that we should not take thought. Why take ye thought for raiment? That doesn't mean that you should be careless or indifferent about the mercies of God. Not at all. But it puts things in order, doesn't it? The grace and mercy of God puts things in order. The things which you shall live and know to the comfort of your soul, and that shall bring you home safe at last. Innumerable mercies. Innumerable mercies. You know, it's a wonderful word in the 46th Psalm, and everybody knows it. But how many know it by experience? Be still and know that I am God. Now, dear friends, if you have the grace to be still and know that he is God, you can leave all your concerns in his hand. Not just for eternal things, but everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And especially when you find yourself on the Lord's Day or on the weeknight in the house of God, you know. What do you come for? If you and I are amongst those that are of the kingdom of God, it is that you should be fed. Indeed, blessed unto the word. A throne of grace. This is what those who are in the kingdom of God possess. A throne of grace. And a man called Jesus, who is the mediator between God and men. Well, the time has gone. We must leave the word. But seek ye first. Now, you that bear burdens. And not necessarily I'm talking about church matters, I'm talking about burdens that the Lord lays upon you. Your own sin and iniquity, the burden of your soul, the need of mercy, the need of pardon, the need of forgiveness, the need of the Lord's presence, the need of his help. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Mr. Charles Wallboys will preach next Lord's Day evening, and Mr. Robert Field on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 675. Come boldly to a throne of grace, ye wretched sinners come, and lay your load at Jesus' feet, and plead what he has done. Hymn 675.
and pardon all that's been amiss, but own and bless thine own word. Oh, that there might be, Lord, the realisation of the desire comes from grace, it will be satisfied by grace. Lord, reveal thyself to thy people and show them their interest in thee. Now take us home safely, Lord, and watch over us each. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and always. Amen.